Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
A couple things that I want to share with you. I am grateful that you're in church today, and I want you to know that I have just been praying about what God would have for today, and I just want all the men to know Christmas is coming. This is a great week because Christmas is on Saturday. Y'all got all week to get your presents, all right? Don't wait till the last minute. I want to encourage you. Go ahead and get out there today or tomorrow and get your shopping done. It's just an important thing because she's worth it, and everybody else that you're thinking of and God's laying on your heart. Come on, wives, just kind of nudge your husband and say, did you hear that? Make sure and get this. It's an extremely busy time of year, isn't it? This coming Saturday is Christmas, and getting all our last-minute details put together for what this next week looks like can be sometimes overwhelming. I know that. And here's the thing. When you're out in a society that oftentimes is not acting like Christmas is coming, they're just waiting for it to get over, it's tough. Come on, it's tough. There's some times that we as Christians are going, good grief, do you not know what the reason for the season is? I mean, there's a real fight. For several years, there's been an attempt, in my opinion, as I've watched what's going on, for a rewriting of history by either ignoring the facts or just creating a lie regarding what happened or what really happened. Now, I understand there are parts of our history, because we've been dealing with this for a while, there are parts of our history that we don't like. Let me just go on record. There are parts of my history that I don't like. But it doesn't ignore the fact that they're still there. And so all of us need to understand this massive effort that's going on. I want you to understand we live in a fallen world and there's fallen people and there are imperfections that take place. Wrongs and injustices happen. But I don't understand rewriting history because that makes it a lie. And I know from my upbringing what a lot of different soaps taste like. I've tried several. Not intentionally. But when a lie would come out of my mouth, my mom would tell me, that's a lie, you can't say that, and you're going to clean up what just the dirt that just spewed. Here's the problem. You tell a lie long enough, and the next generation starts believing it. And the sad thing is, I feel like that's the attempt that's going on in our society. I can tell you that we have teachers lying to our kids. America has begun teaching a history that didn't happen the way that we're trying to communicate that it did. I mean, history is history and an account of what happened, and you can like it or not, but you cannot write Jesus' birth out of Christmas. And if you do that, you're lying to a generation, and we've got to be careful as Christians. The whole word Christmas, let's spell it out, C-H-R-I-S-T. I'm not real good at that, but Christ is in Christmas. Now, I'm not going to get up and just preach all the things against it. What I'm doing is I'm talking to people who believe that today. All right, so I understand that those that don't believe in Christ, I get that. And I hear them and I see them hating Christmas. I just hate this time of year. I just can't wait for it's over. My problem is when Christians are saying, I'm just hating the Christmas season. I got a problem with that because as a Christian, don't ever say I hate the Christmas season. If you have experienced the birth of Jesus in your own life, truly this should be the most wonderful time of the year. It should be how we think. So I want you to know, if we as Christians don't keep Christ in Christmas and we keep Christmas centered around the birth of Him, then who's going to? There's no hope if Christians start hating Christmas and quit putting Jesus as the center. Thursday night of this last week at our church here, the biggest mission of our church held a Christmas play and concert. And I could call out every young person that was in it and go, they were just as cute as could be. But I couldn't get Caden out of my head. And if you don't know Caden, are you out there? Hey, don't do this any other time, but right now, stand up on your chair and just wave at everybody. Now turn around and wave at everybody. Turn around and wave at everybody. Just wave, there you go. If you miss Caden bragging on Jesus, you missed it now. Whoa, I was just amazed at what God did through the hearts and lives of our young people on Thursday night. Seeing the Christmas story reenacted in a play by young people, hearing these young people praise the name of Jesus. Watching our worship team today praise the name of Jesus. Come on, Christian Ministries Church is having a celebration for Jesus, and we're celebrating as the church should be celebrating. I mean, it's just absolutely the best thing ever. This church and many others have been doing their part to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming to this earth for each of our lives. And if you today are listening to what I'm talking about, you may be listening to it on podcast. Now, I want you to know I'm grateful that you're a part of hearing what God has prepared for the church today. But I want you to be careful if you're listening to this on podcast and not say, well, I went to church because I heard a sermon on a podcast. The church has been viewed as irrelevant in so many areas of our society. I want you to know the church was here this week preparing for a celebration with kids. We've actually had a wedding in this building yesterday. Stage has been torn down and put together countless times this week. Worship practice Saturday night, other nights, costumes for our play. You should have seen all the sheets that everybody took off their beds to make our play. It was awesome. The just all that's gone on, the sound, the lights. They had this big ladder in here adjusting all these things and then putting them back together. The bathroom. You wouldn't believe how many times they've been cleaned this week. The church right now is taking care of the nursery. There's just so much going on. The church is a functioning body that operates to bring praise to Jesus. And what I want you to know is you can't be a church when you're sitting at home listening to a sermon. Now, I want you to know the church is a functioning body that brings praise to Jesus and celebrates him, especially at Christmas, but every day of the year, not just every Sunday. Everyone connected to Jesus should be connected to his church. We need to make sure Jesus stays in the minds of people all times of the year. But for sure, when the rest of the world is hearing Merry Christmas, we can't leave Christ out of it. As Christians, we need to make sure that the world sees Jesus in the celebration. The problem is we're just too busy to really take this to heart. Now, maybe singing and acting or cleaning toilets are not your thing. Well, that's just not what I do. All right, at your business, are you making sure that Jesus is the center of attention when you're talking about Christmas at your place of business? As you send out Christmas cards, there's a few that still do that. Do you have reindeer and ho, 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 or do you have a winter, just have a winter wonderland kind of day? Or are you sending a card that has Jesus as the center of your card? In your area of influence, are you making sure that they don't rewrite history concerning the birth of Jesus? I didn't know if I'd get a lot of amens there, but I just want to be careful that we don't get so caught up on all the hoopla that we miss the one that it's all about. Many just don't understand what Jesus' interest into the world did and still does for the lives of his people. Today, I just want to give a quick word as to why we celebrate. The reason we celebrate. Come on, you're in church this morning, and I'm grateful to be singing all the wonderful, godly Christmas songs of praise, and we need to be doing that. But we need to understand there's a reason why we come to church. There's a reason we celebrate. Many in the retail market reject Jesus all year long, but man, as soon as the Christmas season starts, they're hanging signs and putting sales out. Come on in. It's their biggest. Every retail guru knows the significance of Christmas. We can't leave Christ out of it. See, what's it all about? Today, a quick 4,000-year history lesson. And if some of you might have just rolled your eyes in your head. It won't take me 4,000 years to get through this, I promise. Why did Jesus' birth change the world? Why did it change the world? Why are we celebrating? What's the reason? I mean, why did it change the world, and why is his name still changing the world? We've got to be able to answer that question so that we live it. We got to know it so we live it. Think about the impact, because we don't think about the impact every time we write the date, but as Christians, we should. Every time you write 2021, no one seems to think about, you are writing, every time you write the date, you're writing how long it's been since Jesus was here. That's just how long it's been. That's the date since Jesus. We don't think about that fact. His birth changed the world's dating system. That's significant. World War I and World War II were pretty significant world events, but they didn't change the dating system. Just to get some thoughts in our head, Jesus' birth was more impactful worldwide than World War II. In the beginning, God, I'm going quick here. In the beginning, God, we're just going to start out at the beginning. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1, you need to understand something. The first four words of the Bible determine your worldview. In the beginning, God, we don't believe that you can shake a bunch of molecules together even for 100 million years and you just pop them out at the end and there's an iPhone. We don't believe that. I mean, there's nothing. Why do we not believe that? Because contrary to popular belief, we actually as Christians believe in science. Come on, Bert. Which tells us, if we see a design, there's a designer. If we see a plan, there's a planner. If one day we send a spacecraft to another planet with people on it and they get out and they find an iPhone laying there, you're going to know there's been someone there before us. Because there'd have to be a designer for that to be there. If you could come back right now and understand this, in 500 years, things would look different. All of science, you need to understand, operates the same way. Everything spirals downward. You just got to know that. A degeneration is natural. You set a pile of glass, metal, and rubber in a field. Maybe a few little wires. And if you come back in 500 years, there's not going to be a brand new Ford F-350 sitting there with a 6.7 diesel. That's not going to happen. And if you set a 2022 F-350 diesel in a field right now, today, and you were able to come back in 500 years, you'd have a pile of rubber, metal, and glass, maybe, but you won't have a truck the way you left it. Everybody agrees with that. See, when you want to take God out of science and you try to tell the world that things spiral downward, then there's only one time that in your theory, things can spiral upward, and that would have to be creation. That makes no sense. That's why we believe in science. Science, I mean, they all would agree an upward creation without a creator doesn't happen. Yeah. It doesn't happen. See, there has to be a creator for there to be a creation. Yeah. Because everything without a creator goes bad. Yeah. Everything with a creator gets better. And so when you have a creator in the lives of his people, your life should be a reflection of science and things should get better.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
We miss all of this. There is a God and there is a lie and they don't coexist. In the beginning, he is the creator, the mastermind, the planner behind everything. He created perfection. He created mankind to live in perfection. God wanted mankind to choose him. And for God to accomplish that, there had to be a choice. You can eat any tree in the garden. And every time man walked by the tree he was told not to eat from, he chose God. See, there was an option. There was an option. Every time you walk by this, man separated from God because one day he walked by the tree and chose to do what God said not to. And the penalty for going against what God said was separation from him. It was death. Now, it wasn't a physical death, but it was a spiritual death. Understand this. In the day you eat of this, you will die. Some of you are going, we're still in Genesis. I'm going to move forward quickly. But that's what happened. Separated from God. Sin separates us from God, and causes what we know as death. Now, mankind walked around on the earth with godlike attributes, but he was separated. See, he was separated daily by the sweat of your brow. You'll have to work to get things to spiral in a different direction. Man realized there's a God void that was apparent in the life of man. See, we were created to be full of God, and when sin separated us, all of a sudden there's a void. It's a void. It's a horrible void, and we spend our whole life going, I need to fill that void. I need to fill that void. And so many spend their life filling it with the wrong thing because they don't understand it was a God void. It was a void. Now be careful, Christians. I'm talking to you today about buying into the question, why'd God do that? Why'd God do that? Why'd God bring that heart attack? Why'd God bring that cancer on this person? And then the insurance companies get in on this, the acts of God, hurricanes, tornadoes, hailstorms, whatever, fires, the acts of God. Read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Most of you will start it in January. Spend some time there. You can read exactly what God wanted. And what you can say is acts of man. What are you talking about, Pastor? Acts of man? Yeah, our sinful nature brought on imperfection. God created perfection. And it's not us saying, God, where are you? What'd you do here? It's God saying, hey, guys, where are you? Where are you? I made this for you. These things are just a result of a fallen world, and the fallen world only took place because of sin. We chose not God. That's what happened. And yet we're in need of God, so we have a void. God, we need you. Our void is the absence of God. So our need is the presence of God every day. If our problem is a void, the absence of God, then the answer to that would be the presence of God. I love it. From the beginning of our service, have you heard the same theme? There's an anointing over today's service. The Holy Spirit's going to be moving. Why? Because there's a bunch of people that are full of the presence of God in this room. And since they're full and they don't have a void in their life, then what happens is other people that do start going, huh. See, the only thing that fills a void in your life is Jesus. It's the only way to fill that void. So what do? We want God and he wants us, but we still have this sin issue to take care of. It keeps us from his presence. See, you can't have dark and light in the same room. You can't have sin and holiness in the same place. God created a substitutionary sacrifice. I'm jumping way forward. He created a substitutionary sacrifice, a perfect lamb, no spot, no blemish, could be sacrificed by the priest, and it could temporarily cover, everyone say cover. It could temporarily cover sin. That's what could happen for you and I, could temporarily cover it. So for 4,000 years, shepherds had to raise sacrificial lambs for the temple sacrifice. And anytime you wanted to talk to God, you'd take your sacrificial lamb to the priest. The priest would sacrifice it to cover your sin, and the priest could go and pray to God for you. Try that on for size in today's world. See, for full payment of the penalty of sin, a lamb wouldn't do. It had to be a man who died. But the problem is that it couldn't be any man because all men had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So they couldn't pay my debt that they couldn't pay your debt. See that we owed it, you owed it, they owed it. It had to be a perfect man, but only God is perfect. So it had to be God, but it couldn't be God. It had to be man. The solution is all God and all man, all in one, and praise God. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus is the solution. See, an angel appeared to a young girl and she was told that the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her and she would give birth to all God and all man. Church, we're not taking Christ out of Christmas. She would give birth to all God and all man. One day there was a man named John and he was out baptizing people, calling them to repent. John looks up and a man came walking towards him at the water and John looks and says to the crowd, come on, y'all know this, behold, the Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. You know, we said cover, now say takes away. Do you know there's a difference between cover and takes away? There's a difference. Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away sins. the sins of the world. Takes away. Sin could only be covered up until that point. But 2,000 years ago, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Church, that's the reason we put up a Christmas tree. We light up the house, we decorate, we buy presents, we get together with family, we praise Him, we eat a bunch of food. The sin of our lives have been taken away and we have access to a holy God. See, that's what we got to know. I'm never going to say, I hate Christmas. I happen to need a bunch of Christmas because I had a bunch of sin that needed taken away. All of us are there. We had to have that dealt with. We've had some great political leaders that did unbelievably great things, great spiritual leaders who have done some great things. We've had some great denominations that have done some great things to help people in the situation they're in. But our biggest problem was sin that had to be addressed. And we have to know that. There's a penalty for sin. And no one before or after or since Jesus, not a religious leader, not a politician or denomination, to deal with sin, one man, one God, in one person, Jesus. We read history about a tabernacle that was built with an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies, the place where God dwelt. We have a hard time relating to that. 4,000 years of history, he lived in the Holy of Holies. Not in the heart of man as we understand today, because he couldn't exist with the sinful man. But there was a curtain or a veil, if you will, in Scripture that separated us from God's dwelling. So we'd take a spotless lamb to the priest and he'd go in and temporarily cover our sin and ask God about what we needed to talk to him about. Whatever we needed to talk to him about, the priest would take care of it for you. Greatest Scripture, put this up for me. Matthew 27:51. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Come on, we as Christian people need to understand what Jesus did for us is he took away the separation. He didn't cover, but he took it away. And he made a permanent, available access to God. And see, that veil, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. Can you say, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name? You bet you can. Why? Because that curtain's torn. Because Jesus was born. You can say, Father, God, I thank you. I thank you that I have instant access to you. The only way you have that is not by having your shepherd raise a sheep for you. The only way you have access is because God loved you. God loved me. And we need to understand there's a reason why we celebrate. No man comes to the Father except through him. That's the reason the whole world celebrates. Christmas lights, decoration. Think about it. The reason we celebrate 11 national holidays here in the United States, not one compares to the celebration of this holiday. You add the other 10 up and they don't touch the impact of this one holiday. Everything we do points to Jesus. And if Christians lose their reason to celebrate, then we're going to allow others to rewrite history. This is the one thing we can't let be rewritten. We have to know. We need to never forget the reason we celebrate. Thank God he was born into this world and that he was born inside of me and you. Aren't you grateful? Come on, church. I had to share today the reason we celebrate. The reason we celebrate. Y'all stand with me today.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.